Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to GRayRecords.com, your place for music plus more.
Pocket-sized hustle, streams on the rise, make the TV shuffle, remote stays dusty, platforms in power, algorithms working, stack views by the hour,
scrolling through the future, past stay behind, broadcasts faded, streamers redefined, clicks over channels, on demand the king, every app a throne, hear the anthem ring.
Cable cut cords, no tether to bind. Viewers worldwide, borders redesigned. Content creators grinding for the bag. Digital stages, no networks to lag.
Jazz chords hum, mix it with that trap. Dirty sound vibes, let the 808 slap. Fusion in the flow, Afro drums ignite. Streaming's the wave, no commercials in sight.
Prime time shifted, the clock rewound. Now it's binge watch nights. Options abound, Teresha knows ghosted. This the new age, streaming platforms flip the page.
Scrolling through the future, past stay behind. Broadcasts faded, streamers redefined. Clicks over channels, on demand the king. Every app a throne, hear the anthem ring.
Okay, let's unpack this. We just got the latest Nielsen report, and wow, it's confirmed something pretty big. Streaming has officially pulled ahead of traditional TV, and that's broadcast and cable combined. First time ever. This isn't just a little nudge, you know? Feels like a real seismic shift in how we're all watching stuff. So our mission for this deep dive is to really get under the hood of what this means. Like, how did we actually get here? And maybe more importantly, what kind of opportunities and, yeah, challenges, too, does this whole shift unleash for creators, advertisers, even the music industry, especially if you listening right now are maybe already exploring things like AI audio. We've gathered some pretty solid sources here, the latest Nielsen data, obviously, but also some really sharp insights from GRayRecords, trying to give you the full picture of this landscape.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely evolving fast. The numbers themselves, they really tell a story, don't they? And the historical significance, it's kind of huge. So let's look at May. Streaming grabbed, get this, 44.8% of total TV viewing, nearly half.
Now compare that to broadcast, which is at 20.1% and cable at 24.1%. You add those two up, traditional TV, it's sitting at 44.2%. So that little 0.6% difference doesn't sound like much, but it's the first time streaming's actually beaten their combined share. And here's the kicker. Over the last 4 years, streaming viewership skyrocketed, up 71%. Meanwhile, broadcast viewership dropped 21% and cable plummeted 39%. That's a what? Well, it's more than just a trend, isn't it? It feels like a whole new order.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is, well, a lot of folks in the industry saw this coming, right? This milestone. But actually, it took a little bit longer than some expected. Traditional TV, it showed this surprising resilience for a while there. And largely thanks to things like live sports, big news events, new season premieres, those appointment viewing moments.
Right, the things you kind of had to watch live traditionally.
Exactly. And Nielsen themselves, they're predicting that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe streaming won't lead every single month consistently right away, especially, you know, when football season hits later this year. That always gives traditional TV a bump. But the overall trajectory, it's definitive. Streaming is on track to be the long-term, dominant way we watch TV. The direction is crystal clear.
Our sources seem to point to a few key drivers that have just completely changed viewing habits.
And if you connect the dots, you see basically three main currents pushing this wave. First, there's the rise of what people call fast channels. That's free ad-supported streaming TV.
Ah, right, like Pluto TV, Tubi, those ones?
Exactly. Pluto TV, Tubi, Roku channel. Those are the big ones. They're essentially offering curated channels, kind of like old school TV, but streamed and free. With ads, of course.
And people are really, they're watching those a lot.
Oh, absolutely. In May, just those three platforms combined, they accounted for 5.7% of total TV viewing. Now, put that in perspective. That 5.7%, it's actually more than any single broadcast network pulled in.
Wow, seriously, more than a major network?
Yep. It just shows there's this huge appetite for free, easy access content, even if it comes with ads. People seem okay with that trade-off. Okay, so the second driver,
maybe
the most obvious one, YouTube. It's just a juggernaut.
Hard to ignore YouTube, yeah.
Right. In May, YouTube grabbed 12.5% of all TV viewing. 12.5%. That was its fourth straight month of growth, by the way. And its main platform, just the core YouTube, has climbed. Mm-hmm. Wait for it. 120% since 2021.
120%.
Mm-hmm. And what's really telling is that YouTube, just by itself, gets more viewing time than any other single platform out there.
So it's not just cat videos anymore. People are watching it like actual TV, on their TVs.
For millions, it's their primary screen. Living room viewing, it's entertainment, it's news, it's everything.
Okay, so if half his channel is YouTube, what's the third piece?
The third piece is how the traditional media companies themselves have adapted, or are adapting, I should say. You look at platforms like Hulu, Peacock, Paramount Plus, LTV. They started out maybe trying to compete directly, but now the strategy seems more about complementing traditional TV.
How so? Like, examples?
Well, think about big events. Super Bowl LIX, that's going to air on Fox, the broadcast network, and on Tubi, their fast platform.
What?
Or the 2024 Olympics. You could watch on NBC or stream it on Peacock. They're leveraging both sides.
Ah, okay. So they're not killing their old model, but building alongside it.
Precisely. And maybe even more telling. Look at the big restructuring announcements. Warner Bros., Discovery, Comcast. They're actually separating their streaming and studio businesses from their traditional global networks.
Yeah.
That's not just shuffling deck chairs. That's fundamentally re-architecting their companies. It signals a real long-term bet on a streaming-first future.
Right. So, okay, this whole shift, it's not just changing how we watch TV on the couch. It's shaking up entire industries. It's creating these massive opportunities, but also, you know, new hurdles. Let's dig into what this really means for creators first. Because for independent creators, this new world, it seems to offer much wider access, right? Lower barriers to getting seen.
Definitely. Mm. Platforms like YouTube, and especially those fast channels we talked about, they give creators global reach. You don't necessarily need that big studio or network deal anymore.
But it's also way more crowded, isn't it? How do you even stand out?
That's the flip side. Standing out is crucial. It's less about just getting your content out there now, and more about finding and really serving a specific niche. Audiences on streaming, they actively look for very specific stuff, things that maybe wouldn't fly on traditional broadcast TV because the audience wasn't broad enough.
So like hyper niche topics can actually thrive now.
Exactly. And for those creators, the monetization options are much more flexible too. It's not just about ad revenue share anymore. You can have brand deals, channel memberships, direct fan support like Patreon. Creators get way more control over how they make money.
But discovery, that still sounds like the hard part.
It is. Just uploading isn't enough. You have to really understand metadata. That's the key. Tags, descriptions, categories. Mm. The stuff that tells the algorithms who your content is for. Plus, you need killer thumbnails. And you gotta know how to drive engagement comments, likes, shares.
So it's much more strategic. It's not just make cool stuff.
Right. It's a whole new playbook you have to learn.
Okay, and what about advertisers? This must be changing things massively for them too.
Oh, massively. Maybe even more than for creators in some ways. The big advantage. Targeted reach, really granular.
Granular how?
Streaming lets advertisers target based on demographics, viewing habits, interests, stuff that's way more precise than just buying a time slot during a popular show on cable.
Right. Like, you know who is watching, not just how many.
Exactly. And that precision opens the door for way more creative ad formats too. Forget just the standard 30-second spot. Brands can try interactive ads, maybe seamless integrations with influencers within the content itself, or even fund their own ad-supported shows tailored to a specific platform or audience.
Branded content, basically, but more integrated.
Yeah. And the biggest shift for advertisers, it's all moving towards measurable results.
Mm-hmm.
In real time, they can track click-through rates, how long people watched an ad, actual conversions, things they could only really estimate with traditional Nielsen ratings.
That level of accountability, yeah, linear TV just can't match that.
Not really. It's a huge shift in how ad dollars are being justified and spent.
Okay, that makes sense. The measurement piece is huge. Now, let's narrow this down a bit. What does all this mean for the music industry specifically? Especially thinking about our listener, maybe someone exploring AI audio. Because this whole pivot to streaming-first media must have some serious ripple effects on how music gets discovered, how it gets licensed, how artists get paid.
It absolutely does. There are probably five key impacts we're seeing quite clearly. First, there's a genuine sync licensing explosion happening.
Sync licensing. Yeah. That's getting music into shows and movies, right?
Exactly. Music for visual media. And think about the sheer volume of content now. All those streaming originals, web series, fast channels, churning out stuff, plus all the creator content on YouTube. They all need music, background scores, intro themes, tracks to set a mood. The demand is just multiplying.
So more opportunities for artists to get their music placed.
Way more.
Okay.
Especially for indie artists and composers. If you're smart about tagging your music with the right metadata, mood, genre, instrumentation, and you know how to navigate the licensing platforms, you can land deals that just weren't accessible before.
So theoretically, an indie artist could upload a track, tag it correctly, and it could end up in like a popular streaming documentary.
It's happening all the time. Which leads to the second point. AI music integration. With platforms needing so much content, often on tight deadlines, there's a growing interest in AI-generated music. For quick scoring, for temp tracks while they wait for a composer.
Ah, so this is where the AI audio exploration comes in for our listener.
Precisely. There's a real opportunity here if you're creating AI audio. But the key isn't just generating something, it's about using tools to refine it. Tools that can take feedback, align the track with specific emotions or scene requirement, making it truly useful for these fast-paced content needs.
Gotcha. Okay, so sync explosion, AI integration, what else?
Third is direct-to-fan promotion. It's become absolutely critical. With YouTube being so dominant and personalized playlists everywhere on Spotify, Apple Music, artists don't need that traditional TV appearance like they used to.
So how do they break through?
Viral tracks can bubble up organically, maybe through a popular creator using it in their video, or it gets featured on a gaming stream, or uses the soundtrack for a short film online. It's about meeting listeners where they already spend their time in these digital spaces.
Makes sense. Okay, number four.
Fourth. And this is a bit more speculative, but I think we'll see it, is the rise of fast channels specifically for music.
Like MTV, but streaming and free?
Kind of. Imagine curated channels focused on specific genres, like a 247 lo-fi beats channel on Tubi, or an indie hip-hop showcase on Pluto TV, maybe even channels dedicated to AI-generated soundscapes.
Huh. That's interesting. Low cost to set up, potentially high discovery.
Exactly. Low curation cost, potentially high discoverability for artists and labels looking for new audiences.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a natural next step for fast. And then finally, number five, advertiser collaboration. As advertisers get more creative with branded content on streaming platforms, artists have a chance to license their music directly for those campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine your track being part of a cool mini documentary funded by a brand airing on Hulu. Especially if your music fits the demographic or the mood they're going for.
So that's like sync revenue plus brand exposure.
That's the golden combo, exposure and sync revenue. So yeah, this whole era, it really favors artists who are versatile, who understand metadata, and who can adapt creatively.
That really does change the game, especially for emerging artists. And speaking of versatility, if you listening are maybe building music with AI, trying to refine it for that mood-based discovery, or eyeing those sync opportunities, you're definitely on the right track. But you might be wondering, okay, how do I actually polish these AI tracks, make them sound pro enough for a sync deal or one of those potential fast channels? Let's talk about some specific tools that could really help with that.
Absolutely. If you're looking to take your AI-generated music to the next level, getting it ready for prime time, the right tools are pretty crucial. Let's break them down a bit. For just general audio enhancement and mastering, there are some great AI-powered options now. Something like LLL.ai is really good for stem separation, pulling apart the different layers of an AI track, drums, bass, vocals, if there are any, so you can clean them up or remix them.
Okay, so isolating elements.
Exactly. And for mastering, getting that final polish, Landeer uses AI that adapts to your genre. You can even give it a reference track, and it tries to match that professional sound. Makes it release ready.
Without needing a mastering engineer, necessarily.
For many use cases, yeah. And if you want more control, something professional, like Adobe Audition, has AI features built in now. Noise reduction, spectral editing. Great for blending AI elements with maybe live recordings you've done.
Right, more hands-on control.
Mm-hmm. Then there are tools focused more on AI feedback and arrangement, helping you shape the music itself. There's one called Jamahook. It's kind of like having a virtual co-producer. It listens to your track and suggests loops or samples that fit the mood and key. Pretty neat for sparking ideas.
Kind of breaks writer's block, maybe.
Could do, yeah. And even a tool like Descript, which most people know for podcasts. Its AI can clean up vocals really well and align timing. Surprisingly useful if you're working with AI-generated vocal tracks or adding vocals over an AI bed.
Okay, interesting. What about, like, noise if you're recording over an AI track?
Good point. For voice and noise optimization, tools like Crisp are amazing. It removes background noise in real time while you're recording. Keeps things clean. And Auphonic is great for finalizing. It automatically balances levels, sorts out loudness, applies smart EQ, just gets everything consistent.
So lots of tools to refine the sound. Any purely creative AI tools?
Yeah, there are things like VEED.io, which is browser-based. It has AI audio cleanup, but also remixing tools and integrates stock music. Handy for quick edits or making social media clips. And there are simpler online tools, often just called AI mastering, that use machine learning to mimic pro mastering chains. They can give you pretty effective results really fast.
Wow, quite the toolkit available now.
Definitely. It's about finding the right ones for your workflow and what you're trying to achieve with your AI tracks.
What an incredible deep dive this has been into this whole new media landscape. It really seems clear that streaming being dominant, it's not just a phase, is it? It feels like a fundamental, probably permanent shift in how we consume content everywhere. And that just opens up these huge opportunities. For creators, you know, more visibility, more creative freedom, direct ways to make money, especially on YouTube and these fast channels. And for advertisers, a completely new playbook, precise targeting, creative formats. It's a different world.
It really is.
And we saw how in the music world specifically, things like sync licensing, AI integration, direct-to-fan discovery, they're really flourishing, giving artists way more pathways than before.
Which kind of leads to a final thought, maybe a question for you, the listener. Especially since you're exploring these new frontiers, like AI-generated content, this media landscape, it's changing incredibly fast. So looking ahead, What do you think will be the single most crucial skill for you to hone? Is it going to be mastering the technical finesse of these AI tools we just talked about? Or maybe it's the ability to curate incredibly specific niche content that really connects with a dedicated audience. Or perhaps it's developing that deep strategic understanding of metadata, just making sure your creations actually get found in this ocean of content. Something to consider. How will you adapt? What steps will you take deliberately to not just keep pace, but to actually lead the charge in this new era?
This is Naomi, a spokesperson for the G-Ray Records Music Network. Big thanks to everyone for tuning in and listening to G-Ray Records. your place for music plus more. May peace be with you.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.